Thank you for continuing with us. If you're just now joining us, where have you been? So good to have you. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com are our websites. We're talking to Charlie Robinson, the author of the book, The Octopus of Global Control. And there's a lot of things that Charlie can talk about, which is fantastic. We're just having a fantastic discussion here. The Octopus of Global Control.com is his website for his book. Please check out his book. It's a very good, interesting perspective on the different tentacles, so to speak, of what we see around the world. Tell us about Anarchapulco. There, I think I got it.
You
I didn't
got
butcher it.
It
at least.
You did. You got it.
Who was there?
So I was one of the speakers there, but I was not, I'm not in any way in the same level as some of the other ones. Ron Paul was the keynote speaker.
Wow.
And David Icke spoke for 4 hours. We had Max Egan was there. We had Derek Brose. Del Bigtree spoke about vaccinations, as did Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We had Mark Devlin talking about the dirty behind the scenes music industry. It was fascinating. I always love his speeches.
Oh, what?
Ole
so?
Damegard.
So if you were going to talk about the general, it's not, I mean, it's like a play on anarchist, but so the general
right.
Play on the whole theme of the conference would have been what then?
Well, so it's composed of three aspects, really. It's the anarchist component, which I think a lot of people think that anarchy is black bandanas and Molotov cocktails and things like that, and burning cars in the parking lot. None of that's going on. Anarchy means, it doesn't mean no rules, it means no rulers. So it's people that are more interested, I'd say call them a lot of libertarians, people that are hands-off, you know, government intervention, stay out. Alternative media is a huge part of that. Then there's a cryptocurrency component. And then the third part is the health and wellness. So it's, you know, you would, if you were there during the week-long experience, you would be, first of all, you're at a beautiful five-star resort that's right on the ocean. So it's great. But after these conventions, you know, after the speakers end, there's almost too much going on. There's four different stages having speakers constantly throughout the day. But if you came out of one at, you know, around 5:30 or so, you'd see a bunch of people meditating out in the grass in front of the, you know, like, or on the beach, you know. So it was a very warm environment, not necessarily temperature wise, but I mean, like, just emotionally, it was a very connected. Yes, there were kind of the Grateful Dead parking lot components, you know, dreadlocks and people walking around barefoot and everything. There was that for sure. But there were people from ages 20 to 70. You know, I saw a lot of retired couples there.
Ron Paul was the keynote speaker. Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like a very eclectic, synergistic group all in all.
Yeah, for sure. So to give you an idea of some of the – so what you would do is during the day you would have all of these speakers you could choose from. You just go from one room to the other and you have a schedule. And then at night they had other events planned that were sort of a la carte items that you could add on and you could do. As an example, on the Friday night, three big buses pulled up and people were getting on the buses. It was $20 per person. And where they were going was to an animal rehabilitation facility that was not too far away. And everyone on the buses that paid money was there to help release baby sea turtles into the water. So, you know, not Molotov cocktails, completely different. There was also,
let me ask you on a personal note. On a personal note, what you mentioned the speaker, I can't remember his name, but the speaker about the entertainment industry, is that what caught your eye or caught your imagination? What piqued your interest the most or surprised you?
Oh, boy. Well, that's Mark Devlin. I love his stuff, so I was excited to see him. Ole Damegard, you know, what I really wanted to see, I wanted to see Ron Paul and David Icke for sure. I was able to do that. I really wanted to connect with Ole Damegard, who has done amazing work on false flags. The problem with the event is that there was almost too much going on, that Ole had an hour to do his talk, and he needs, you know, 2 hours to unpack this thing. And same with Mark Devlin. Really great information, but you just kind of wanted more of it. So I was excited to see that. But then there was also, you know, at night, on one of the first nights, I did the ayahuasca session, you know, with 40 other people. And we went from 9 o'clock at night till 5 o'clock in the morning. you know, when they had brought in shamans and all of that. So you could really get into, you know, some alternative health and wellness things. You could listen to, or you could say, I'm here to, you know, to see Ben Swan talk. You could listen to Ben Swan talk for a while, or people that are talking about how to homeschool their kids. There was an unschooling, what they called unschooling component of that, and you could hear all of the speakers that were in. So there was a ton going on. There were over a couple thousand people there. It's doubled in size every year. This was the fifth year. The sixth year, I'm not sure who the speakers will be yet, but I'm sure it'll be great. I'll be going back for sure. And it's just, if you like this alternative media, if you're interested in freedoms and things like that, preserving freedoms or accumulating more freedoms, if you're interested in learning ways to break away from this control system, this is like the Super Bowl of the alternative media. I mean, everybody was there, and then if you weren't one of the speakers there, then you were one of the content creators. So you've got, you know, Josh Sigurdsson from World Alternative Media recording, you know, videos there, and Jason Goodman from Crowdsource the Truth, and they're just booths set up, and it was like that the week of the Super Bowl, the media week, where everyone's got their little stations and people going from one to the other to the other. And what's neat about it is that if you liked David Icke or Ron Paul or, you know, one of these speakers, and you were there because you're really enthusiastic about hearing them or maybe meeting them, you could walk around the hotel at night and see them having dinner, or maybe David Icke's having drinks at the bar. You can go sit next to him and I had a 2-hour conversation with Ole Damegard about Operation Gladio in the bar till 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, these things were happening all around you. So cool. It's fascinating. Even if you're just like, you're just somebody that wants to go and see the speakers, well, you'll see them for sure on the stage, but you're also probably going to interact with them because nobody is too cool for school there. You know, everyone is just a regular person out there chatting. So yeah, it was fascinating to do that, and it's gotten better every year. This is my first year, but from everyone that was there, they said it was more organized, and it was more scheduled, and that's not necessarily something that the anarchists don't necessarily love schedules, but you kind of need them for events like this. I just couldn't say enough good things. I mean, it wasn't perfect. There were obviously some issues, but...
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned cryptocurrencies. You mentioned cryptocurrencies. Yeah. Let's talk about overall, what was the sentiment about cryptocurrencies?
Well, from one year to the next, from the last Anarchapulco to this one, there had been a massive sell-off of crypto, down from 19,000 on Bitcoin to about 3,300 when this event happened. So the mood on cryptos was cautiously optimistic, but there was a lot of optimism in the room. There were a lot of people explaining, this is what happens when you have a disruptive technology like this that comes in and messes up the status quo. You're going to get pushback. You're going to get people trying to take it down. So these are to be expected. So there wasn't a ton of panic. I don't know all that much about cryptocurrency. I took this as an opportunity to sit in on some of these lectures and listen and try and educate myself as much as I could on the topics. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to know. It's a sort of the Wild West right now in that industry. And this is a good place to get an education on it. And then from this event, when people leave the event, you know, whether they're there to learn about cryptos or freedom or unschooling or health and wellness, there was a lot to process when you were done. It was a bit overwhelming. After 6 days of this, I was exhausted, but in a good way. You know, you left very motivated, and it kind of carried with you. And actually, it was
sensory
a bit of a
overload.
Letdown. Yeah, sensory overload while you were there, a sense of a letdown when you got home because you were. So if you're one of these people that's feeling like you're on an island all by yourself, or you're trying to talk to your friends and family about these things, and they're rolling their eyes and they're going, "You're crazy. You think 9/11 was Arab terrorists and blah blah," and you're just like, "No. There's more to the story." And look, these are your people. When I got to this event, I realized these are my people. Okay, I mean, they were super nice, very thoughtful, very warm, open to having conversations and discussions about these things. It was tremendous.
I don't know if you've heard of the Red Pill Expo with G. Edward Griffin.
Yes. Well, he was there. He was
very good.
I said, Yeah, I sat next to him in the Mexico City airport and talked to him for an hour and then had coffee with him a couple of days later. Yeah, he's doing Red Pill Expo. In fact, one of the speakers from Anarchapulco, Benny Wills, who's the founder of Joy Camp, which is this great video. Like, if you go on YouTube and go to Joy Camp, you can watch their what they call conscious comedy skits that they do, 5 or 6 minutes, really funny. Benny Wills and G. Edward Griffin and I were talking, and Ed Griffin said, "Hey, Benny, would you like to be the host of this year's Red Pill Expo? And he's like, "Yeah, absolutely." So I was standing there while that was happening, and they're doing that this June in Hartford, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah. I was going to comment. I went to the first Red Pill Expo. I spoke there. And it was so, the feeling of being around your people, people who shared your ideas and the energy in the room. I mean, really, if you can get, look, if you feel isolated, ladies and gentlemen, please don't, because there are so many people who are just as passionate, just as informed, just as concerned and are resonating with you. They're there. Do not feel alone, because you're not. And the universe is resonating with you. I mean, liberty is the universal resonation. No question, without question. And so, yeah, that's, I just wanted to piggyback on what you said there.
Because I know how it can be isolating. Believe me, I know. I've destroyed a Thanksgiving dinner by bringing up 9/11. I know how quick,
is that all?
Quickly things can turn, can turn on you. But you won't get that at events like this and Red Pill Expo. I haven't been to Red Pill Expo, but I would assume there's a tremendous amount of overlap from the people. Well, I know for a fact there's overlap from the speakers, because a lot of the same ones are going to it. But it will energize you when you leave, and it will renew your faith that not everything is done and over and finished. You know, you'll say, okay, there are some good people here and they're working towards it. And it's not who you, not necessarily how you would picture them to look. I met a lot of people that were in that older age range that have been dealing with this. They've been seeing this, you know, this change in society coming for decades, and they're pissed. And so that was refreshing to see people that were in their 20s interacting with people that were in their 60s and exchanging numbers and coming as, "Oh, I live here and you should come out here and do this and we should work on this together." And it was fascinating. And Wired Magazine actually was there. They followed Jeff Berwick around. He's the founder of it, and also the founder of Dollar Vigilante. And like I said, I'm writing a book with him. Wired Magazine followed him around for the whole week, and they did a very fair article about it too. It was well done. So if you want to get a little bit of an objective taste of it, you can look in Wired Magazine. I saw it online. I'm not sure which month magazine it was in.
We're talking to Charlie Robertson, author of The Octopus of Global Control. TheOctopusOfGlobalControl.com is the website. A fantastic book. Give us a little bit, summary. Why did you write the book, The Octopus? Why did you write this book?
Well, I wrote the book because of this Thanksgiving dinner that I destroyed. This is kind of the genesis of the book, because, and I think I'm not alone. In fact, I know I'm not alone in this. A lot of people have had those discussions go awry. And what it was that I had come to an understanding about how these things were working, and I had read a lot, and I had listened to people, speeches, old speeches, and about what these people were saying. I'm talking about guys like Rockefellers and Rothschilds and the people that are pulling the strings, you know, ex-presidents from long ago. And I brought this up at a Thanksgiving dinner, talking about 9/11, and we're talking about this control structure that, you know, that the media is involved in it. And what I wanted to convey was that it wasn't necessarily me that was coming up with this, but there were other voices. There were people that are saying the same thing. So I'm not this crazy lunatic sitting.
So what
did
your family say? What did your family say when you brought up some of these things?
They thought I was clinically insane.
Drunk?
They didn't think I was drunk, because that would have been better. At least I would have had a potential out. But since I don't drink, they didn't think I was drunk. They thought I had been watching too much YouTube, which my very well be true, but but my feeling was that, you know, listen, you know, to my family, you guys have seen me grow up, and you know, you might think that I don't know anything about anything. Take me out of the equation. What if you heard it? What if you heard David Rockefeller thanking the media for keeping silent for the last couple of decades so that their push for a one world government could come true? What if you heard his words? Would it be more real? And so that was what I thought was, I didn't have backing evidence with me, as you don't at a Thanksgiving dinner table, right? But when I wrote the book, I thought, well, what I'm going to do is forget my voice. Obviously, my voice is in there. I'm going to bring in the words of 500 different people that were involved in this stuff. I want you to hear what they had to say about it. Forget what I had to say. If you heard George H.W. Bush talking about New World Order, we're pushing for a New World Order, and he says it 100 times, and then you hear Al Gore talk about it, and you hear the Queen of England, and you hear all these prime ministers, and you hear all these presidents, and you hear them all saying New World Order, New World Order. Will you believe that they're trying to put a New World Order together? You know, if you hear it from all these, now will you believe that I'm not losing my mind, that this is a thing? And so I felt like if I could say, you know, here's examples of what they're saying. They're telling you what they're doing. Just listen to it. You didn't hear it on your nightly news because it doesn't work in their benefit to have it in the nightly news. So that was the format of the book, was to bring these quotes in, to have the voices of other people. And some of them are comedians, you know, some of them is, you know, it's Bill Hicks and George Carlin and Joe Rogan kind of commenting on the insanity of this all. And that, I think, is necessary to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. And of course, I put my dark humor in there, which keeps it light and keeps you in there during
The question I have is, so after you were done with the book, did your family then read the book?
My mom was the first person to read. My mom is actually on board with this, so I have to give her some credit. My mom started the idea for the book with a simple question to me. She said, you know, I had discovered some new conspiracy, or I had come across some new topic that I had never learned about. And I was explaining it to my mom. And she said, this is great. It's great that you have all this information, but what are you going to do with it? And it was such a simple question that I had never even considered. I didn't think I had to do anything with it. I never felt like a need to do that. And I thought, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I had just been compiling it for my own, you know, just for my own knowledge. I just wanted to know. For my next Thanksgiving, yeah, I was trying to put together my story. So what happened was that my mom was always on board with it, and so I wrote the book in total secrecy. Nobody knew about it. And when it finally came out, I failed to intercept the first batch, a big box of books that had been sent to the house, and my wife opened that box instead, thinking that it was light bulbs and whatever that we had ordered. And it was filled with my book, 540-page book. Boxes, you know, just filled with books, and she threw me out of the house for 2 days. She just said, "Get out." I tried to play the, you know, I tried to explain. Listen, most
she
women
threw
throw
you
out.
Out of the house. Wait a minute, hold on. Wait a minute. What do you?
She said.
She saw. She opened the book. She saw thick War and Peace level type book,
yes.
And on the cover was your name, and she flipped and said, "Go sleep at the Holiday Inn." That's basically what happened.
Yes. For 2 days. She considered it to be emotional cheating on her because I had written this book in, like, secrecy. And I mean, when I say in secrecy, I mean sneaking out of the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to go in the office and type 2 pages and then go back to sleep. I mean, this was how it kind of came about. And,
why did you keep it from her? If I can ask, I mean, I don't want to be your marriage counselor here. I hope you're not divorced at this point.
No, we're good. We're good. So initially I kept it secret from everybody. Because you know how those things go when you, if you say, "Hey, I'm going to write a book," and then everyone starts asking you, "Hey, how's that book coming?" And I didn't really finish it.
Yeah, I understand.
I didn't want that. And my feeling when I started it was, I'm going to write it. I'm going to see how I feel. If I don't like it, if I'm not into it, or if it fizzles out after a couple, you know, pages,
yeah,
then I got nothing, you know, then nobody's going to hold me to it. So that's how it started. And then I just kept it in secret because I didn't know if I'd finish it. And then I finished it. And then I didn't really know how I was going to ever break it to my wife. Maybe that wasn't the way I wanted it to go down. But when it came to, you know, hey, Coast to Coast wants to have you on to talk about the book. And I was like, okay, well, now is this a little bit more real? And she's like, well, maybe. But please, next time you write a book, let me know in advance. So when Jeff and I got together and started working on this book, I let her know in advance and had I had to get her approval on it. And she said, yeah, go ahead and write it.
We got about a minute before the break. Many people who are listening now probably have similar experiences to what you're saying. That's probably why they're laughing. I'm laughing. I've ruined many a family situations.
Oh yeah.
Not ruined. I've dropped the bomb figuratively, yes, in the living room. Let's put it that way. Anyway, what advice would you give for the people listening who maybe have a similar situation? They're awake to something. They have a higher consciousness about the illusion, yes, of what's going on, but they have family members who, you know, don't see anything at all.
Yes.
What would you recommend?
Well, I had to learn this. I have a good answer for it, and it's because I had to learn the hard way. Do not do the thing where you say, I'm going to tell you guys how the world really works. Instead, phrase it like this. Go to somebody close to you and say, you already know the answer to this in advance, but say, I'm having a hard time figuring out how a building that's built out of concrete and steel could collapse at free fall speed with just traditional office fires. Could you help me figure that out? And then ask it more like a question, and they might say, what are you talking about? I've never heard of this, which is a good one. Or they might say, oh, yes, well, the answer to this is because, I don't know how it could have happened. You know, and then you start to get them attached that way.
That's a good idea. Put it that like it's their idea. Help them, have them help you figure it out, so to speak. That's a great idea.
It. Exactly.
It's a little deceptive. Yeah. But it's great. It's great. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, more with Charlie Robertson, The Octopus of Global Control, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, The Power Hour, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jay at The Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. get your body back in balance with Living Streams Probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio Superfood. I've taken Bio Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. It was good to hear Joyce at commercials. We got a lot of requests, you know, since Joyce has passed, and I thought it was a good time to, I just love interjecting her voice every once in a while. We're going to have a replay with an old show of hers every once in a while also, and so be look for that, and we'll email you about that so you can have that link or hear that. I think it's very cool. It's, anyway, thepowermall.com. We have great specials, and the amount of food, of course, is on sale. Dr. Sherry Rogers products, the Happy Bodies Detox Cocktail. You don't have to worry about mixing different things, the glutathione, the lipoic acid, all mixed together that she has formulated, that you can use it daily. Very simple. Just put some water. Tastes great. I like it. It's got a little tangy, citrusy taste, kind of. I like it very much. The phosphatidylcholine, which is essential with the cod liver oil, the GMO-free, the powder version she recommends. You have to have those to protect the lining of your nerves and all that. It can't fire. It can't communicate. Cells can't communicate. All these things. You have to have this. Of course, the lipoic acid R by itself, good health naturally. Vitamin E, the full spectrum. Curcumin with the turmeric, the benefits there. Essential Digestive Plus, the Sera peptides, the Sera enzymes. Vitamin D3, high quality vitamin D3. Lithium Balance, lithium orthate. So many people have been helped by that. The Krill Miracle. All these things and so much more over at the Power Mall. Please take advantage of them. And also Vitamir toothpaste and oregano oil, all on sale at the Power Mall. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. That's how we're funded, ladies and gentlemen. We're not getting a check from the Rockefellers. We get checks from you. And as you heard Charlie go over at the beginning of this interview, this is going to be more and more important as time goes on, that you support us, that this voice of this show is your voice, and we present what you desire and the search for the truth, that we're not sold out. We're not a corporate-type institution. So to do that, we need your support. And thank you so much for all that you've given us over the years and continue to give us that support. So God bless you. Thank you for your donations and purchases at thepowermall.com. Getting back to Charlie, the Octopus of Global Control.com is the book and the website. I'm going to tell a story now, Charlie. And I've told this a few times on the air, but I'll tell it to you and kind of get your reactions. We're going to talk about vaccines and what have you. But to me, there are lined in the sand moments that are approaching pretty rapidly. The vaccines, you know, they're pushing pretty hard. And so these things are coming more and more. My dog I still have the dog. This was quite a few years ago. But she got an ear infection really bad. I had so bad I had to take it to the vet. It wouldn't let me touch it. It wouldn't let me fool with her ear at all. She was very stubborn about it and just didn't want to be fooled at all. Ended up having to take it to the vet. It got so serious. She had to knock the dog out and then really go in there deep and clean because I kind of ended up neglecting it because she was so adamant I didn't touch it. Okay, so when the dog was going home, the vet said, you're going to have to clean this out a couple more times. You put this medicine in there to keep the infection down and clear all that out. And I said, she won't let me touch her. And he said, well, give her this pill. It'll knock her out. Just wait a little bit. Wait till she can't walk very well, and you should have no problems whatsoever. You know, I would approach this a lot different now because I know a lot different. But, you know, 10 years ago, what have you. Anyway, so it came time for my wife and I to pull off this miracle, getting this dog to take this medicine. So we gave the dog the pill and just waited, you know, 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So 15 minutes go by. Now, Charlie, this dog could not put one foot in front of the other. Not one foot in front of the other. I swear to you. The dog laid the dog down. She just let me do whatever. She's just laying there. I leaned on the dog, just laid on her nice. My wife came up, was going to put her ear up and put the medicine in. The kill shot or whatever was going to do the deed. Soon as my wife picked up my dog's ear, as soon as the medicine even touched her ear, that dog shot up like a rocket and ran around the house like a greyhound all around, and I couldn't catch her to save my life. And I saw that. I was so amazed and stunned by that, and I've thought about this so many times since. And hopefully, this is a metaphor for the United States. That as we're groggy, as we're, you know, can hardly function, we've lost our bearings, we've lost our sense of ourselves. But right when, at the end, when they go to put the final shot in, so to speak, are we going to jump around like a greyhound, like my dog? That's my question to you.
Well, the answer is obviously, I hope we will. There is if you think of like a chart, a sliding, you know, a chart, on one, from the bottom on its way up is increasing awareness of people, say the alternative community. A lot of people are waking up. So that's a line that's going up in the right direction. A separate line would be the dumbing down of society through foods, television, vaccines, chemicals, poor education. That line is going down. So what we need to make sure is that the line that's on its way up of the awareness and awakening is at a higher rate than the dumbing down. Because the dumbing down, if we don't get out in front of it, it's going to be like that movie Idiocracy. It's going to look like a documentary pretty soon. It is. It's damn close to it with the sort of madness that we see in Washington, D.C. So we have to kind of spread the awareness to people around us and then hope that they spread it to the people around them and try and wake people up. We talked about, you know, this vaccination, this push for vaccination. It might be the trigger event. It just might be, because there are a lot of people that are very passionate on both sides, and I can understand both sides of the argument. I have my thoughts on them, of course, but I can certainly understand where both sides come from. Both sides think they're right, and then that makes you very aggressive when you want to have a discussion about it. But we've noticed that they don't want a discussion about it. they don't want a discussion about this on social media because they'll remove your pages. We've had that happen. They don't want a discussion about it in person. David Icke was set to go to Australia. In fact, I was on the plane with him out of Mexico to, from Acapulco to Mexico City. Then I was getting on one to go home, and he was getting on one to go to L.A. And from there, he was going to Australia for his speaking tour. As soon as he got to L.A., they canceled his visa. One of the reasons why is that they said that they didn't want him discussing the vaccination topic there.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's a silencing. There's a silencing of these of any discussion. So what do you do if you're losing an argument? You try to silence the discussion. You try to make it so that there can't even be a conversation about it. I was living in California. I grew up in California. living there. I had moved away, but we had moved back. We had a one-year-old, and we were checking out pediatricians. There weren't too many of them in where we were living, but we went to the first one, and then we were planning to go to a second one. The first one we went into, the guy said, "So, how are we doing on our vaccination schedule?" And my response was,
"Very well.
We're on a
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking."
That should have been my answer. Instead, my answer was, "We're on a delayed schedule." And to me, delayed meant we're not doing it. And he said, I'll never forget this conversation because it was so preposterous, but I swear to God, every single word of this is true. He said to me, "What, do you not trust the government?" And I laughed out loud because I thought he was kidding. And then I looked at him and he was serious. And I said, "No, I don't really trust the government." And his response to me was, "Okay, well, now I know what I'm working with here." Dead serious.
Well, he put that down in your file, Charlie. Charlie, he made a note of that in your file.
Oh, I'm sure he did. We got up and walked right out of there. I was like, wow, this is an interesting conversation. And then you fast forward 3 years later and Richard Pan is there pushing, you know, the vaccination bill in California, and that went through. And when I saw that, I said, we're out of here. And, I mean, for other reasons too, but that was part of them. But I also was not so delusional to think that it was going to stop with California. I understand that there is a push for this. So the question is, well, what's causing this push? I mean, I turn on the nightly news. I don't hear them discussing the downsides of vaccination. Well, of course you don't. Because if Brian Williams, the certified liar that he is, decided one day on his news show that he wanted to do an honest debate about the vaccination topic, the CEO of Merck would be in the president of NBC's office the next morning threatening to pull $1 billion worth of advertisers if he doesn't get his guy in line. So that you're never going to see it. You're never going to have an honest discussion. And if you're busy and you're working three jobs and you come home, you turn on the news, you only have time for 30 minutes of the news, you're going to get a 3-minute headline about something and a very limited discussion. That's all you're going to hear on the nightly news is one side of it, and that will set the tone for that person going out into the world, and they will have that belief based on that. It's not an honest debate. It's not a factual debate. At an Acapulco, like I said, we had Del Bigtree, the director of VAX, was there speaking, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny did her speech was primarily or was entirely about Gardasil. And she destroyed that. Well, of course, Sherry Tenpenny's telling David Icke backstage, "Hey, you're going to Australia? That's cool. They won't let me go to Australia because of my vaccination
stance,
you know, topics." Yeah. And then a couple days later, boom, he was pulled from Australia too. So, and this is
Let me interject right there. Let me give you another name. Sure. I think it was the beginning of this week. The time flies by, but it's on our website or on our YouTube channel for sure. Tom Cowan was a doctor, and he's in California also. He gave, and I love Sherry Tenpenny, and she's, you know, a lot of those things I've heard, whatever. It's the best interview to really explain vaccines, the way they work or supposedly work, why this is bad, what's going on with the immune system. He goes over there's been only one double-blind safety study in vaccines ever. He goes over in detail about that study, the importance of it, the measles, the situation that we've created. It is the best interview on vaccines, especially for right now. It's the best I've heard. The best. And so, Tom, ladies and gentlemen, one, you can go check that out at our YouTube channel. But there's a name for you, Dr. Tom Cowan, out of California. Let me transition. Let me back up.
As soon as this is over, I'm going to listen to that because I want to hear that for sure.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it may start out a little slow, but I promise you it is well worth your time. Maybe Catherine, why don't you email him that link? Just email him directly that link if you would, and then he can have it. You talk about people waking up, people all the time, and no question people are being illuminated to their sense of themselves, to the divinity within them, to their rights, to what America is. I mean, just all over the world, not just America. When you say waking up, obviously vaccine is an issue. What are some of the hot button issues? Waking up, what does that mean? If I am waking up or if I'm trying to wake somebody up, what am I waking them up to?
I would say that the what I would be explaining to people, if they don't already know this, something that's real tangible for them that they can see with their own eyes easily, and that would be the nightly news. to me is just a, it's just the propaganda mechanism. I would explain to people that were kind of coming, you know, new to this. I actually did this as a, as sort of a impromptu science experiment with my mom. I didn't set out to do it, but she had come over to my place and we were just chatting about something. This was a couple years ago. Turned on the TV and the breaking news was the San Bernardino shooting as a prime example. And I didn't know anything about it. She didn't know anything about it. It was in the process of happening. We just turned on the TV at the same time. And I turned to her and I said, if I tell you five things that are going to happen in this event, before we even hear about them, will you believe me that these events are controlled? And she said, sure, what do you have in mind? And so I listed out, and this was just speculation on my part, but I thought it was good speculation. I said, there will be reports that these shooters, I said, first of all, that there'll be Muslim shooters that will wind up dead. And there will be reports that there will have been white people or military-style people that were involved in the shooting, but then that report will get buried. They'll leave a manifesto. The media will infiltrate their house or car or whatever and make a mockery of the place. And then there will be immediate calls for gun control right after that. She was like, okay, well, that sounds reasonable. And then within 48 hours, those things happened. So I'm not psychic. I don't have a crystal ball or anything like that. But I understand how the news media operates and how this sort of thing works. So I would say that for waking people up, to get them to watch the news in a much different way. In our parents' generation, they watched, you know, Walter Cronkite came on, or maybe, you know, some of those trusted news sources back in the day. And they were, you know, people were loyal to those particular reporters. Maybe the network a little bit too, but specifically the reporter. They had their ones that they liked, and they felt they were getting the truth. And maybe they were back then, but Operation Mockingbird changed all that. And all of these newsrooms are infiltrated. And if you explain to someone, listen, you're watching NBC, which is owned by General Electric. General Electric also makes military weapons. They make all sorts of guidance systems and things for airplanes, and they're involved in the components of missile making. General Electric has a vested interest in wars kicking off because they cover it with their news, and they make money on the ratings and advertising there, and they sell the products that have to do with war, and they make money there. So when you watch your news, I would hope that people would understand that there is a deeper agenda than just these guys are out there digging into what's happening in the world today, and they're giving you the straight 100% truth about that. When people start to kind of wake up that the people on the nightly news are high-paid script readers and that the scripts are coming from somebody much higher than them on the totem pole of control, then it makes the news look a little bit different. And I watch the nightly news not to get information, but I watch it to see how what their take is, how they're spinning it. And when you catch the media involved in frauds, whether it's setting up minor things like setting up remote interviews where they're like 10 feet away from each other, but they're pretending to be on the other side of the world, little things like that, or green screening things behind them, nothing major. You start to chip away at this facade of the nightly news as being the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You start to see that it's a television show, you know, and they're trying to get ratings. And they're playing up some things and downplaying other aspects of stories, and they're covering one story but not another. And you start to understand that they're shaping your reality. And if you can understand that the people trying to shape your reality do not have the same agenda, they're not wanting the same things that you want, it makes it easier for you to say, oh, this is total nonsense, or, you know, Anderson Cooper.
You're bringing up,
oh, Anderson Cooper's a good guy. No, Anderson Cooper might be a good guy, but he's been paid a lot of money to read a specific story. And that story, there's a reason for it, you know? And so that to me is it's the easiest thing people can do. They can start to understand that their nightly news is a bit controlled. Oh, and by the way, when Sinclair Media, the conglomerate that owns 200 local networks, puts out a has all their anchors read the same news script about how they have to be careful about fake news. They don't understand. They're so blind that they don't understand that by doing that, that is the epitome of fake news, that they are controlling the news, and they're so myopic that they can't even understand that what they are doing in their little spiel to tell people to be aware of fake news is by definition the very fake news that people should be watching out for.
Let me interject. I think this is very interesting what you're saying. I think there's so much truth, because that probably is maybe even the first step, and have that, you have to have some paradigm broken, whether it's about the news or about medical or about whatever. It makes me think about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's greatest accomplishment. I don't care what you think about Donald Trump one way or another, what he does or doesn't do in the future. To me, he may not do anything greater than what he did the very first week of his presidency, when he was in that press conference and he pointed his finger at Jim Acosta of CNN and says, "You are fake news." And it was like a switch turned all over America, where like it gave America permission to now do exactly what you just said and look right at CNN and say, "They are fake news. They are lying." It was like, he may not do anything as good or as important as that moment right there, his very first week in office.
I am so glad that you said that, because I have been saying that for the last couple of years. It's so funny that you mentioned that. That was the moment. Yeah, and I feel the same way. I don't care what else he does. I mean, hopefully he can do some good things. But when he flipped it on CNN, you know, their reaction to that, they were enraged. And the reason why they are enraged is because they know he's right.
Well, yes.
That's why they
he popped their bubble.
He popped their bubble.
I mean, they had invented that word, fake news. They had invented it to turn on shows like ours right here, like you, like us right now talking. Well, this is fake news. And he turned it totally around from his position and put it on them. It was unbelievable, the magnitude of that.
Yes. It was a masterpiece in flipping the script on powerful people, because they're so used to being on the offensive with their "you're fake news, you're fake news, you're fake news," that when somebody powerful like him flipped it on them, they had never considered how they would defend the allegations against themselves. And what they wound up doing is confirming that they are indeed fake news by then taking a Russia story and trying to run with that for a couple of years and embarrassing themselves. But he's right. They are fake. It's not to say that everything that Donald Trump says is the truth. I mean, he's made quite a living out of not exactly being honest with certain things. So it's not like he's the most powerful person to say it, for sure. Maybe not the best in terms of like honor and dignity and all those things that he.
Oh, he was the best, Charlie. He was the best. I don't know. He was the best. There is no doubt.
They didn't know what to, that's the truth right there. Pointing at CNN and saying "you're fake news" is the most truthful thing that Donald Trump has probably ever said in his life, because they are fake news. They are fake for a variety of reasons. They're fake because of who they get their money, who's in charge of them. They're fake because they're told in some parts what to say through some of these Atlantic councils and groups like that that work very tightly, share interlocking board memberships with a lot of the people that sit on the boards of CNN and NBC and General Electric and places like that and Fox. So they're connected to one another. So they are fake news, and they know they are, and they know that they're supposed to tell a certain story and have a certain agenda. And so when he called them out on that, part of the reason why they looked so ridiculous was because they got caught with their pants down, because he was right. They were fake, and he exposed them for it, and they didn't have an answer for it. Same thing with those NPC memes that went around. Boy, that drove people at CNN and MSNBC crazy for some reason.
Non-person character.
It seemed to really connect with them. And in part of it was because at their core, on some level, they knew that they were right. They were sort of non-player characters, acting this whole thing out.
Charlie, we got a couple minutes. We got maybe 3 minutes left. The name of the book, The Octopus of Global Control, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com is the website. Charlie Robinson is the author. Fantastic book. Great perspective as you can get a sense of him. He's just a fantastic guy to be around. I mean, just really cool, really fun to talk to. You know, a Thanksgiving dinner ruiner. That's like the badge of honor. Thanksgiving dinner ruiner. That's you, Charlie.
Didn't feel very good at the time, though. I can't lie to you. You know, you want your family to love and support you and to say, oh, you're doing good things, you're doing right. But when you're on those topics, sometimes the people look at you and they think, I've failed as in my duty as you know, one of your family members. We should have gotten a hold of you sooner. You've lost your mind. Well, you know, this is how it looks from the outside. People are going to think you're a bit off if you're questioning this. And the reason is because you're surrounded by disinformation. You're getting it from schools, you're getting it from your television, you're getting it in the newspapers and magazines, you're getting it from politicians, everybody's lying to you. So like as Ron Paul said, in a sea of lies, the truth is, I forget it, I butchered his quote, but anyway, telling the truth
you're butchering Ron Paul now. At the end of the show, you were doing so good, you're going to end so weak now, Charlie. Look, you got about a minute, you conclude. You conclude whatever you want to say here at the end. I got about a minute.
Well, look, what I've found from talking to people that have contacted me about the book or going to like Anarchapulco and places like that, I have found that the alternative news community, the people like that are listening to this, are some of the smartest people I've ever met. And they're not falling for this because they're dumb. They're figuring it out because they're smart. You know, they're picking apart these lies and they're saying, this doesn't sound right to me. And they pick and pick and pick until they figure out that it's a lie. And then the next question is if this construct is a lie, what else is a lie? So they start digging around and everything else. We're not going to get them all right, but we're going to get some of them right. And it's imperative.
There's the music, Charlie. It's been fantastic to be with you. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Daniel Esslin is going to guest host. He's got Jerome Corsi scheduled and Catherine Austin Fitz, so fantastic broadcast tomorrow. So good to be with you. I will join in the beginning of next week. It's great to have Charlie Robinson. Check out his book. Charlie, thank you so much for coming on the Power Hour today.
Thanks for having me back. I'll do it anytime.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic weekend. Remember, we want you happy, we want you healthy, we want you successful, and above all, we want you free, just as God has made you. Don't ever forget that. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com. Thank you so much for your support. We're funded by you, ladies and gentlemen. This is your show. God bless you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.